what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming. And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land.
Hey everybody, this is Daryl Worley, and you're listening to The Mark White Show. Hey, step up and make a difference like he does.
Hey y'all, this is Jeff Foxworthy, and you, yeah, you can make a huge difference in somebody's life. You just may not have figured out how yet, and that's why you're listening to The Mark White Show.
Hi, this is Maggie Peterson. I played Charlene Darling on The Andy Griffith Show, and you are listening to The Mark White Show.
Hi, folks. This is Ricky Skaggs, and you're listening to The Mark White Show.
Hello, I'm Gene Stallings, and this is The Mark White Show. Get off the sideline and get involved and make a difference in your community.
You are listening to The Mark White Show. My daddy is your host, Mark White. Something
good today. Welcome to another edition of The Mark White Show. I'm looking forward to this show today, and I think you're going to enjoy it. My buddy Steve Trash is joining me today. We're also going to have a special message from Dr. April Jones. And then we're going to have Kyla's Corner and the Make a Difference Minute replay. So I hope you'll stick with me throughout the show. It's going to be a good one. We're going to make a difference in the lives of others together. That's what this show is about. We're recognizing people and sharing their stories to encourage and inspire us all. And right now I have an inspiring person on my show, and his name is Mr. Steve Trash. He is in Frog Pond, Alabama right now, and I'd like to welcome him to The Mark White Show. Welcome back to the show, Steve.
Thank you, Mark. That's downtown Frog Pond, Alabama.
Got it.
Population 76 when I'm not home.
When we talked the last time, you were getting ready for your debut on Alabama Public Television. You were excited about that, and now you've logged in quite a few episodes since we talked last.
Oh, that's right. We had not launched. But yeah, these days, Steve Trash Science is on every Saturday morning on Alabama Public Television. And in fact, we're actually all over the United States. I co-produced with APT the first national series they've ever produced. We're in Los Angeles. We're in New Orleans. We're in a couple of cities up in Ohio. But Alabamians can watch every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. And we cover science subjects, but present it in entertaining and fun ways. I do magic tricks to illustrate some of those science ideas.
And I've been watching the program, and I enjoy the way that you lay it out for young people and even older people, because if they watch, there's some really good messages that you share. And it was the day before the debut when you came on my show. You were actually on the show the day before it kicked off.
We've logged a bunch of miles since then. It's been very, very well received. And like you just said, I've actually gotten letters from grandmothers saying, you know, I sit with my grandchild watching Steve Trash Science, but the truth is I really enjoy it probably as much as they do, because it reminds them of being a kid and learning about biomes and learning about the value of plants, you know, how amazing plants are, and learning about pollinators and learning. We even have episodes on digital literacy, how children can stay safe while living in a cyber world, because that's a really important thing. Well, we made it fun and interesting, but still based on good data and good science.
That's exactly right. And I was going to bring that up because that goes into where young people are now into social media and other activities on the internet and learning to be a good citizen. And we talk about that a lot on your show, being a good citizen, being a person who's kind and treats others well. I even saw a program where you drew, is it bullying? You were defining what bullying actually is and laying it out for people to understand some of these concepts.
Yeah. Well, what we've got is a situation where children are really inundated with information, but what they really need is wisdom. And we live in a technological, techno-information age, but we need to distill down for our children simple ideas like, you know, what is bullying? Why is it a bad idea? I mean, you referenced one of my slogans. I close every show that I do live with, be good, be amazing, and don't be mean. And it's really amazing how powerful that very, very simple slogan is. Be good simply means be a decent human being, be respectful, be kind. Be amazing means if you're going to take on a project, if you're going to do a job, then be as amazing at that job as you possibly can. And don't be mean is self-explanatory. There's no reason to be mean. We need to be caring for each other as much as we possibly can. And so if that impulse to be cruel or to be mean hits you, then stop. Just pause a moment and make a different decision.
Exactly. And one of the things I'm thinking about, Steve, is the fact that you mentioned that when it comes to people treating others with respect and coming out with wisdom, that we need more wisdom. If you post on social media right now, you may have a very wise statement, but because of the nature of people, it can be shut down very quickly and bogged down, and so your wisdom gets watered down. But we're in a unique situation, both you and I, that we actually have a program where we're able to have a voice and reach people without being shut down, and that's pretty cool to me.
Yeah. Well, and you're exactly right. I was just thinking about that. I jog almost every afternoon. I've got an Australian Shepherd named Gracie, and she jogs with me. And today I was thinking about what's really fascinating about living in the 21st century is everyone has a voice, but not everyone's voice has real depth or wisdom to it. So what we hope is that the people who speak with some authority and some knowledge actually rise to the top. I've just released a book called Finding Your Light Bulb, and the premise of the book was, you know, don't take advice from someone who hasn't done what you want to do. And the reason I'm writing the book is because I've done the stuff that I'm going to share with you. And I think that's true with lots of, like with the episode of Steve Trash Says, which is the on APT, I'm doing character education shorts. So if your listeners ever tune in to Sesame Street, or they ever tune in to watch Frontline, or I'm a big fan on Alabama Public Television, they sprinkle Steve Trash Says in between other bits of programming because they're just about 60 seconds long. It's not the long Steve Trash Science. They're just little bitty bits. And my hope was that I could support the good things that moms and dads and grandparents are sharing with their children about the value of being honest, the value of not stealing, the value of being kind, the value of working hard and not giving up. You know, all of those are sort of old-fashioned-y, but they're old-fashioned-y and cliche because they're all they all have merit and they all have value.
Yes, that's exactly right. And I do want to talk about the book. Let's take a quick break and come back and talk about this book that has been published by Renaissance Valley Publishing. Will you stick with me, Steve?
You bet.
All right.
I'd love to.
Folks, we're talking to Steve Trash. He is in downtown Frog Pond Population 76 when he's not there. When we come back, we're going to talk about his new book that he's come out with, and looking forward to having that conversation, because this book falls right in line with what I'm doing as a radio host and what others are doing, like Kyla's Corner, Kyla Carter, who will come up in just a minute, as an actress and looking to entertain others to help find their light bulb. So I hope you'll stick with us and continue to listen to this special program with Steve Trash. We'll be right back.
Let's all do something good today. A little wink, a pat on the back, a big old hug, a little laugh. We can make a difference. All we have to do is try. Yeah, every day's a chance to change somebody else's life. Let's all do something good today.
Are you in Alabama and need questions answered by a medical professional? If so, my friends at Trinity Medical Care are proud to announce that they are offering telemedicine. With telemedicine, you can stay at home and still have your visit with the doctor. Telemedicine from Trinity Medical Care is now available Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Make your telemedicine appointment today by calling 256-489-3192. That number again, 256-489-3192. You can also follow Trinity Medical Care on Facebook. Is it time for a haircut? Give my friend Philip Butler at Southwind Barbershop a call. Located in the Foodland Shopping Center at 16041 Highway 72 in Rogersville, Alabama. You can call him at 256-247-5658. Make an appointment or just walk in. That's Southwind Barbershop in Rogersville, Alabama. Thompson Roofing and Construction is a locally owned family business serving the North Alabama and Southern Tennessee area. They are a Better Business Bureau A-plus member since 2011 and a GAF Master Elite Contractor. Give them a call at 256-952-3309 or check them out on the web at 256roofing.com. They offer free inspections.
Thompson Roofing and Construction.
Hello, my name is Christian Martinez. I'm a rising senior at Athens Bible School. My school is great because of the wonderful environment in which students can grow and flourish. We have great academics that include the University Preparatory Diploma and dual enrollment courses that lead to an associate's degree before high school graduation. All my teachers and the school's employees are Christians who are devoted to the welfare of students. We have an excellent student body, competitive sports program, and study the Bible first thing every day. It's a great place. Please consider joining us at ABS next year, or give that special child in your life the great opportunity I have.
Hi, I'm Crystal Gale, and you're listening to The Mark White Show. And one smile can make a difference. Na 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 na. Someone loves you, I do.
Welcome back to The Mark White Show. I am pleased to have Steve Trash on the line with me right now. We were talking about the show that is not only on Alabama Public Television, but public television across the country. People can hear Steve Trash on Saturday mornings. Welcome back to the show, Steve Trash.
It's always a pleasure, Mark. Thanks for the invite.
You have taken the years of experience that you've had as an entertainer on different mediums and shared this information in the form of a book, so that other people who are wanting to go down a similar path will have information and tools that can help them to be successful.
Yeah, that's a really, really good encapsulation, a really good explanation of what I was trying to do. I actually called the book Finding Your Light Bulb because I grew up in Alabama. I was born in West Texas. My mom was from Texas. My dad was from Alabama. He was a forester. And I never even met a professional magician until I was, you know, in my late teens. And there were no professional magicians around. So I didn't really have anybody to serve as a mentor or to ask any really good questions. Well, there was this guy that I read about, and his name was Mr. Electric. And Mr. Electric was, he was the guy. I mean, he performed on Ed Sullivan. He performed in the Lido in Paris. He performed on all of the big shows, the big reviews. I mean, he was stone cold famous. And so I hear, I'm probably 18 or 19 years old. I'm at the University of North Alabama going to school. And I hear this guy, Mr. Electric, is going to be at a convention in Florida. And I'm like, Florida's close to Alabama. I should go and meet Mr. Electric. So, you know, I save my shekels and put them down. And I go to this magician's convention down in Florida. About a half a day passes and I spot him. I'm like, that's Mr. Electric. I need to go talk to Mr. Electric. So I sort of saunter over and I say, hello, Mr. Electric. My name is Steve. I'm studying theater at the University of North Alabama. And I'm going to be honest, I don't have a clue how to become a professional, full-time, working pro entertainer. Do you have any advice? And he said, you know, he turned to me very kindly and said, well, as a matter of fact, yes, I do. And so, of course, my ears went, you know, big as Dumbo's ears. And he said, you know, if they want a magician, there are literally thousands of magicians for them to choose from. But if they want the guy with the light bulbs, they want me. Steve, go find your light bulb. And I was only 19, but I knew that this man had just given me the best career advice I would ever get. And in fact, I've built a life on it. Back up a little bit. The reason my stage name is Steve Trash is because I teach kids about recycling and the environment and their connection to the natural world. That's why Steve Trash Science was such a logical fit, is because it fits into what I'm trying to teach kids, that they are connected to the natural world. And over the years, I ran into so many brick walls trying to be a professional show business person, because this is my 38th year in professional show business. I've literally, I've toured all over the world, Japan, Australia, Canada, Portugal, the United Arab Emirates. I've been on television many, many, many times. I've been, the only job I've had for the last 38 years is show business. And I thought, you know, I'll bet these principles would apply to other people that want to be in show business. Frankly, I think they apply to any business, being so unique in the marketplace that they don't just ask for the generic version. They actually ask for you. You know, they want you. That's what they're asking for.
That is amazing. When you think about your career and what you have done, and I know that there are so many people out there, especially a younger generation who's coming up in the social media world and where you can have 30,000 people follow you on TikTok, how to take that next step. Because as you and I know, followers don't necessarily generate income, and people who want to be entertainers right. are looking for income because you have to have a job. I mean, I do a radio show and people ask me how I'm able to do it. Well, I work part-time and I have benefits. If I didn't have the benefits with a part-time job, I would be working full-time somewhere, and I would not have as much time to dedicate to the Mark White Show. The situation worked out for me, but I can't tell a young person, hey, you know, go this direction. And at the same time, I know reality says, look, if you want to have a family, if you want to take care of having food on the table, paying your utility bills, being that responsible person, you've got to be able to balance it out. Well, Steve Trash had a point where you made some money doing it. There had to be something else that was going on, and then you worked your way into where you are now.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was, I mean, there were very lean years. I'm quintessentially the man who slept in his van down by the river. I lived in LA, there was a period of about 3 months where I didn't have a place to live because I didn't have any money. So I would park my van. I'd park my van in front of my friend's house who lived in LA, and they didn't want any more roommates. So they'd let me come in and shower, but I would just sleep out in front of the house, you know, and when the cops would cruise by, I'd just start the van up and you know, drive around the neighborhood and come back, you know. So I've been there. I know exactly what you're saying, is that you do have to take practical steps. But someone asked me, in fact, that's what this book is about. It's really about the principles and the guide that you have to use to make it up what we call the mountain of show business. Because the truth is, show business is a very, very tall mountain, and it is just simply hard. But if your passion is bringing happiness, or say if you're a musician, bringing songs and bringing your essentially poetry to music to people, if you're a clown, or if you're a ventriloquist, or a magician, or a balloon artist, or, you know, any of those kind of family entertainment artists, you really, really have to have a business plan. Because like you said, you can't pay the bills with just good feeling and happiness that people throw your way. And so that I created this book to help people design their own plan. There actually are steps, though. Are you interested in the – I actually worked out sort of what the steps need to be if you really want to chase that. Are you interested in that?
Yes, absolutely, for sure.
Okay, so this is the step. It's sort of like an outline for finding your light bulb, right? First of all, you need to give yourself the freedom and the license to dream big. I mean, really big. And that's step one. Because here's the thing. I mean, it's a little bit of a cliche. If you aim for the stars and you miss, well, at least you hit the moon. Well, that's true, actually. And most people don't have the courage to dream big. And the value of dreaming big is that it sort of gives you a clue as to what your purpose is. You know, you, as Mark White, are sharing good, valuable stories. You feel that there is merit in sharing that good news, those
yes.
good stories, right? Well, that
yes.
goes to the heart. That goes to the heart of who you are and what you bring to the table. And that's what dreaming is about. Because the second you dream big, you say to yourself, you know, one of the exercises we use in the book is called the $20 million experiment. And the $20 million experiment is just this. I have just given you $20 million, but you only have 10 years to live. What does your life look like tomorrow, right? And start writing that down. You would be surprised how many valuable things come up when you give yourself that you work through that exercise. You got a limited amount of time. You've got $20 million because everybody's going to buy themselves a nice house. They're going to make sure their mom has a good car, blah, 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 blah. But then what do you do with your life? And that exercise is really valuable at helping you narrow those things down. Then you get step two. And step two of the process, climbing up the mountain, is do the work. You just have to outwork everyone around you. You have to get up earlier, you have to stay up later. You have to read more books. You have to hustle more. You have to make more phone calls. I mean, if your day demands that you need to make 10 phone calls to try to book a gig or to get work, you know what? You don't do 10. You do 11 phone calls to get the work, right?
Yes.
You just simply do the work that is necessary. The third step is you make adjustments. You've got to look at the marketplace and see, like, I'm Steve Trash. I've been Steve Trash for going on 40 years now, but the world continues to change. The market changes, and you have to make adjustments. Keep your eye on the prize. You know, keep looking at what the dream is. What are you trying to accomplish? What is Mark White bring into the table? What's your raison d'etre, right? Your reason for being, but make adjustments within the marketplace. And frankly, I would say, you know, having a part-time job so you have benefits, that's making an adjustment. That's making an adjustment so you can fulfill your destiny with the radio show. The fourth step is just simply get lucky. There's no way around it. Sometimes good things just happen to you. Other times you work really hard and you make those good things happen to you. But that's luck plays a part. Every successful entrepreneur on the planet knows this, and they all know that getting lucky has a lot to do with working really hard. And then when Providence smiles on you, you just grin really big and say, thank you very much.
If somebody's working hard at it, things are going to happen. As you say, I can completely hear what you're saying when it comes down to luck, but those doors have to be open and you have to be making those calls for that to happen. You can't be sitting at your house laying in the bed or on the couch watching TV and have that type of magic happen in your life.
Well, it does, and that's the fairy tale, is that we know of the one or two exceptions to that rule. Somebody was just sitting there and got struck by lightning. They just simply got lucky. But the vast majority of us really need to actually make our luck. We need to be standing. You need to prepare yourself. So when that luck actually does appear, you're ready to actually take complete advantage of it. And step four is get lucky. But step five is just as important. And it's step five is don't give up. Right? Because you're going to face anything that you're doing that is worthwhile. There are lots and lots and lots of things that are going to get in your way. The life is nothing but a series of problems that have to be solved. And the one thing that we know for a fact is it's very, very hard to keep a man or a woman down that simply doesn't give up. Right? They get knocked down. They just keep getting back up. Well, you can't beat that person because they just keep getting back up.
And it sounds like that's what you've done, Steve, for many years.
Well, you know, I don't really belabor. There's a really great story about the professional golfer, Arnold Palmer. And it was the story said he had a fan that said, "Hey, Arnie, do you remember that hole where and it was a particular tournament he was playing in, and it was a really easy putt, and he apparently missed the putt." And Arnold Palmer looked at the guy really dumbfounded, and he was like, I don't remember missing that putt." And you know what? Arnold Palmer did not remember missing that putt, because you don't focus on the losses. You don't focus on the things that got in your way. What you need to focus on are the successes, and focus on how you're going to solve problems that do always come up. Because it's, if you spend your whole life looking at the red light on the dashboard, you're going to lose sight of the horizon and where you're actually driving to.
And that is a critical point you just made, because we are seemingly, as a vast majority, programmed to see the negative and see where we have had quote-unquote failures as opposed to the wins. I guess it starts when we're children, when we're very young. We have to break that mold, because internally, so many of us have that thought process that, well, that didn't work out for me. And you always remember that failure for the rest of your life, that missed field goal or that missed pass or the late shot or, you know, some other aspect of your life where you didn't get that particular radio station that you wanted, or the television station turned you down, and you think about those things and dwell on them, as opposed to thinking about the wins that you had to actually be able to have some success.
The more successes you have, the more failures you're going to have. And the way I look at it is I have this thing called the victory table. And the victory table is a quick reference way of remembering all the successes that you've had in your life. And they don't have to be really big successes. They just have to be successes. I'll give you an example. When I was 11 years old, I lived in Montgomery, Alabama, and I was on the Dixie Youth League championship team. And I was a really decent hitter, right? I batted fourth. I was cleanup for my team. And we were in the championship, and it's the seventh inning. Back then, we only played seven innings. And the bases are loaded. I'm about to hit the ball. Everybody in the infield backs up because they know I'm a really good hitter. So my coach tells me that I need to bunt and follow that ball down the first base line and score the run. Because all we need is one run, and we win because it's tied. And what did I do? I stepped up to bat. I pretended like I was going to knock cover off the ball. I turned. I popped that ball down there. I followed it down the first base line, and the guy on third base scored. That's one of my victory tables. I mean, and I was 11. I'm 57 years old. But that emotional win is powerful. And I call it a victory table because you need at least four of these. Four wins in your life to hold it, because it takes four legs to be a sturdy table. I even have photographs of these things that trigger in my mind successes, because it is what you said. It's human nature to look at our failures. Entertainers have this thing where we may have an adoring audience of 500 people, but we will scan the audience. We will find that one person that is scowling, right? And focus on them, like, I know I can make them happy. I'll just keep working on that one sourpuss in the front row. No. Forget the sourpuss. You're making 499 other people happy. That's the same with the victory table, right?
Yes.
If you focus on the victories, especially if you're undertaking something complicated and challenging, because you need to go in feeling like a winner.
Absolutely. Being a winner, man. Paul Bear Bryant said something about that. I've always been a winner. I don't think we need to be arrogant, but at the same time, we need to consider ourselves a winner, and we need to think about that we do have those wins in life, and it's not always a failure. And it's easy to get into that rut where we believe that we're hopeless and we don't have that hope. And we can get into depression pretty quick too, real depression that people have on a daily basis. And man, I wish I could just grab people by the collar and pull them out, but it's not that easy. For those who are on the fence,
you
have to go ahead and try to leap over that fence and get past that moment so that you can go out and meet your purpose and help others at the same time, because I think that ultimately if we're helping others, that's the best thing that we can do with our life.
If you failed at something, and believe me, I have failed so many times, it is embarrassing to fail publicly. But what you need to look at, any challenge, any failure, is if you can draw a lesson from that that makes you better the next time around, that makes you maybe a little... have a little more understanding, a little more wisdom about the situation that you're in, then it ultimately is not a failure, because it was simply an experience that you learned from. Calling it a failure, because you're only a failure if you quit, right? But if you take that setback and go, okay, what can I learn? An example, here's a really quick example, excuse me, from the book. When I was a kid, my whole kid existence, I wanted to perform at the Magic Castle in Hollywood, California. It's the mecca of magicdom. If you are someone in the magic world, you have performed at the Magic Castle. So, you know, I'm 29 years old. I go to audition at the Magic Castle in Hollywood, California. I kill. The audiences, they love me. But these are just normal people, just normal audience members. I finish my audition and I think, oh, this is great. I'm totally in. I'm going to be a member of the Magic Castle. And these three guys are staring at me like this weird, weird expression. And they're like, look at me, kind of almost like they don't want to say anything. And I'm thinking, I don't understand what's going on. And the one guy finally speaks up and he says, you know, the whole trash thing, that's just not really our image. We're going to take a pass. It was almost like I was hearing something in a different language, because I had just done my job, right? I had entertained these people. They were laughing. They were being amazed. But these guys were telling me what I was presenting wasn't right for them. And when I got back to my van, I just sat there kind of going, I think I have to make a choice. I either have to follow the muse that says, this is my light bulb. I'm Steve Trash. I do tricks with garbage. I teach people about their connection to the natural world. I teach people about recycling, or I become their version of what they would like me to be.
Yes.
And you know, that internal conversation, it did not last for very long, because I knew it was really a question of, I would be unhappy doing it their way. If I did it my way and I failed, that's much better than doing it their way and failing. So it didn't take very long. I was like, okay, it looks like I'm never performing at the Magic Castle. And I fired up my van. You know, I drove off down Hollywood Boulevard. And the epilogue, of course, is 20 years later, something about the world, the axis of the universe had changed. And not only did I get an opportunity to perform at the Magic Castle, I became a member and I did a week of performing there at the Magic Castle.
Oh,
so,
man.
But I learned the lesson. Yeah. All of those years later. And so I actually did, 20 years later, get to fulfill that childhood dream.
Wow, that sounds like my radio career. I waited 20 years for this, man. It right. took me 20 years. Right, I was 18 right. years well, old. I heard Rick and Bubba for the first time. I was at the University of Alabama, and I thought, well, if those guys can do it, then I can too. It took me 20 years of life to being a police officer and tourism director and working at a steel fab shop, treating utility poles across the state of Alabama and delivering mattresses, all these different things that I did, selling life insurance, to finally get enough experience to actually be in front of a microphone and have something worth sharing.
Jason Isbell said that about his early writing. He said, you know, when I was first writing songs, I didn't have any life experience. Now he's, I mean, he writes some of the best songs I ever hear, and he has a lot of life experience now. You know, Mark White has a lot of life experience. And, you know, I think it really goes back to trying to find that thing that you want to do. There's a difference between a dream and a goal, right? The goal is very specific. I want to perform at the Magic Castle. But the dream is much more esoteric and ethereal. And that goes to say, you know, why did you want to be on the radio? Well, it's to contribute. It was to share good stories and share positivity. And there are lots of different paths that people can take, you know, that don't necessarily look exactly maybe the way they thought it would look. I mean, frankly, when I was 19, I thought I would be world famous by the time I was 27. So, you know, I think the hubris of youth, but, you know, I needed to learn some things. But I was pretty confident that I had something to offer, because when I'm entertaining children with this pandemic going on, it's been absolutely horrible for touring entertainers. You know, the last work I had until day before yesterday was 5 months ago, because our entire touring schedule, all of our touring schedule, and I tour nationally. I don't perform locally very much at all.
Right.
And it's just vanished, completely gone. But 2 days ago, 3 days ago, I did a local summer camp over in Muscle Shoals. You know, God bless them. And the children were socially distanced, and I did micro shows. So I had a show at 9 o'clock, a show at 9:30, a show at 10, a show at 10:30, a show at 11, a show at 11:30. So all the kids got to see the show, but they were in these little tiny groups, you know, separated. And when I got finished, I just breathed this wonderful, wonderful deep breath, and I thought, you know, I really have missed those children.
Yes.
And that's my contribution, is that I connect so directly and so viscerally to them that any way that I can get my message out to them is the way I'm going to choose. You know, if one door is closed, I just start looking for another different door. But you keep your eyes on the prize. And in my case, it's contributing something of value to children.
Well, I miss those in-person interviews, going into people's homes, sitting at their table, going and interacting with people where they're at events. And that has stopped. And of course, I found the door to open to do phone call interviews with anybody and everybody from my own home.
Right.
And that's how I've been doing this, to make sure that people's voices are still heard in spite of what we're facing with COVID-19. And I also know, Steve, that you have an event that takes place every Saturday right now through the Florence Lauderdale Library, and I want to turn people on to that if you want to share about that at 10:30 on Saturdays when people can tune in.
Yeah, that's right. So, Saturdays is sort of Steve Trash Day these days. Every Saturday at 10 o'clock, you can tune in to see Steve Trash Science on Alabama Public Television, and then at 10:30, thanks to our sponsors, the Florence Lauderdale Public Library, you can actually tune in to a live show that I do on YouTube. Simply go to their Facebook page. It's Florence Lauderdale Public Library, and sign up there, and they'll send you the secret code, and it's only for the folks that sign up for the library, but you can watch it at home on your tablet, on your cell, on your laptop. And there's a lot of interactive magic in there. And we're running with, of course, the recycling theme, but we're really running with a reading theme, because I'm dyslexic, but I love to read, although reading is very, very difficult for me. I explain a little bit about that you really need to find something for your children that they are passionate about, because that will turn them into readers. If you find something that they love, that could be robots, or it could be dancing, or it could be Legos, or, you know, Lord, football even. You know, we go back to the dream thing. The dream thing, if your dream is to be a professional football player, right? Well, the odds that that's going to happen are very, very low. But if you look at the dream itself, where does the passion come from? Well, maybe the passion is just simply that you adore the sport of football and you want to be close to the sport of football. Well, maybe you need to be an agent, or maybe you need to actually work and be a coach, or you need to work on the sidelines, or you need to, you know, just be associated with the football world, not necessarily be a player. And so if that one dream gets shut down, stop for a moment and look and say, what's really driving this thing? Well, it's my passion for football, or in my case, it's my passion for entertaining children and bringing something positive to those kids. So every time something gets in your way, you go, okay, that I don't think I'm going to be able to accomplish that tomorrow. What other avenue could I take to sort of get where I think I want to go?
It sounds like reaching the stars and touching the moon, Steve.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly right. I mean, I'm pretty successful, but I have fallen so short of the goals that I set out. But I'm a big fan of Elon Musk and Tesla and the SpaceX program. And there's a Canadian astronaut, and he said something that just shook me the other day. It's Commander Hadfield is his name. And he said this. These are the simple words that I think ring so true. And he said, Chris Hadfield said, be ready, work hard, enjoy it. Now, I've never had much trouble with working hard or being ready, putting the time in, but the enjoy it part, I've not been as good at. And in the latter part of my career, I'm making a genuine effort to enjoy it more, you know, take those moments. And I truly believe that the thing about this pandemic, and there's almost nothing good about it, but the thing that is good about this pandemic is we are so separated. I believe it is showcasing to us how much we depend on each other, how much we need each other, and how much actual personal contact, person to person, actually matters. I mean, do you know why we're such a successful species? It's because we do stuff together. We cooperate. There's no other reason. It's that. It's because we work together, right? And when we work together, we accomplish amazing things. This pandemic has shown us that, you know, working together has real, real, real value.
When you were talking about your book, Finding the Light Bulb, you went over step one, step two, step three, step four, and step five, but you missed step six, Steve.
Yes, I did. Step six is da-da-da, repeat steps one through six over and over and over and over. You got to do the work. You got to make adjustments. You got to dream big. You got to get lucky. And you never, never give up. And then, frankly, you have to do it all over again. It's a never-ending process. You just keep rolling, you know, like Commander Chris said, be ready, work hard, and enjoy it. Just enjoy, if you can, even enjoy the failures. That's really hard for me, but, you know, I think there is some value in that.
I think I want to give your book out to friends is what I want to do, people who need it. I'm really enjoying this, and I'm looking forward to it. I want you to tell listeners right now how they can get your book, because I know that they'll want to order your book. Share that, Steve, how people can get Finding Your Light Bulb.
The good thing about this book is that it's actually published by an Alabama company. Alice Cook has a small publishing company, and I'm a big, big supporter of local small business. And Alice and I had a conversation, and we came to an agreement that she would publish this book. It's print, printed in Alabama. It's not printed overseas. It's printed right here in Alabama. If you're interested, there are really two ways that you can find it. You can go to renaissancevalleybooks.com, and you'll be able to find Finding Your Light Bulb there. Or if it's easier for you to remember, you can just type in my name, stevetrash.com, and on the front page is a light bulb, and you just click that light bulb. But a more direct route is going to be renaissancevalleybooks.com/findingyourlightbulb. And it's, I don't think it's just, it's kind of like you said, Mark, it's for anybody that has an entrepreneurial spirit. It's for anybody that really is facing challenges right now. Like, do I have something to offer? I don't really know what it is. Well, the book has ways to narrow that down. Okay, I know what I'm after, but I'm feeling a little discouraged because I've had a lot of setbacks. Well, we could, you know, you can build a victory table. I learned many things by crashing hard, head on, 90 miles an hour into brick walls. And the purpose of this book is to save others a little so they don't have to crash into quite as many walls. Okay, so here's the thing that I discovered was so valuable to me. Okay, there's a difference between dreams, goals, and action plans. So a dream is a feeling, right? It's like, man, I want to perform at the Magic Castle. I want to be so awesome. All of these other magicians and people think I'm the best thing since sliced bread. Okay, that's a dream. But a goal is actually a dream that has a deadline and is measurable. So your goal might be something like, I want to perform at the Magic Castle by December the 31st of 2020. Okay, that's a goal. Measurable, and there's a date. So if you hit it, you hit it. If you miss it, it's measurable. You missed it. But goals and dreams are tricky because they're so cotton picking big. You go, well, I don't even know how to get there. That's why you need an action plan. And an action plan is very, very simple series of steps that get you where you want to go. And here's how it works. You say to yourself, basically, two questions. Let's use the Magic Castle example. I want to perform at the Magic Castle. You ask yourself, well, can I do that tomorrow? If the answer is no, then what do I have to do tomorrow before I can do that? Well, I have to have a promotional tape. Well, can I send, if I have that promotional tape the day after that, can I send that? Well, no, because I have to shoot it. Well, can I shoot it? And then ask yourself, can I then send? Well, no, you got to organize it. You got to book a theater and you've got to get folks together. And if you keep asking yourself that question, can I do that tomorrow? Well, can I do that tomorrow? Can I do that tomorrow? And then if the answer is no, then you write in there what that next step is. And when you're finished with all of those things, you'll find that you're actually at the place right here, right now, that, yeah, as a matter of fact, the thing on your list, you actually can do that tomorrow. So if Magic Castle is way off in the distance, but you've walked all the way back, what's the thing I have to do tomorrow? It's simply go make a phone call to find out who the person is that I have to submit to. Okay, that's something that I've done to move towards that goal. And every goal, every dream that you have can be broken down into an action plan. And it makes it so much less intimidating because you don't have to take a giant step. You're just taking a baby step towards that thing. One baby step, one baby step, one baby step.
This is why you needed to write that book, Steve. I'm listening to you. I'm like, man, this is great. You simplified it. And if we could take this information and then use it, follow those steps. Kyla Carter's coming up here in just a little bit on my program. She has Kyla's Corner. She's a 13-year-old from Long Island, New York. She's been on Nickelodeon, DreamWorks. She's a Broadway actress, a great singer. She's 13 years old, and she's on that path herself. And I'm trying to help her by giving her a segment on my show, her Sunny Side Up segments, which are incredible, the messages she shares. And I want to try to help her every way I can. But you have now contained it within a book to find information from all this experience that you've had, and you lay it out really well, Steve. I appreciate that.
Well, thank you. And yeah, Kyla is choosing a career that there really isn't an easily understandable path. And that's what I discovered being a young person in entertainment. The path isn't easy. It's kind of foggy. But if you know where you're going, you really can. And that's part of what I did in Finding Your Light Bulb. I lay out exactly how to build your own personal action plan, because it doesn't really have to be entertainment. It could be anything that your listeners are considering doing. I mean, when you're in the middle of a pandemic, it's a lot of time to think about what problems you might be able to solve as an entrepreneur. I mean, we're coming to find that there are online learning problems. You know, we're coming to find that not all Alabamians have access to the internet, to Wi-Fi. I mean, it's a big challenge. Maybe there's someone out there that has a business that could solve that problem. That's the beauty of business. We solve problems for money. Right?
Yes.
I solve your problem, you give me money. It's a nice little trade. And that expression, these, what do they call them? Social entrepreneurs. I believe I've always been a social entrepreneur. The name just didn't exist when I was a young person building my career. I think it's quite a common thing now, solving social problems through our businesses.
So true. And all these terminologies that weren't around, it still was in a form or fashion. We just didn't know what to call it. And here we are today, and we have names for it. We can actually put a name to what we're trying to do and then figure out, as you said before, from your book, to find out what your light bulb is. That leads us to the entire message of your book, that special magician that met you when you were just a young person and telling you, go out and find your light bulb, Steve. And I believe Steve Trash has certainly found his. I'm hoping that today's message helps others who are seeking their light bulb. And I do want people to go and find your book. I think the easiest way, because a lot of people honestly can't spell Renaissance. I would have trouble spelling it myself right now. But SteveTrash.com is simple. We can go with SteveTrash.com and people can go and find that book.
I can send you a link if you'd be interested in
getting
on your site. They can follow me on social media because I'm all over. One last parting thing. You have to keep the faith. You just really have to keep the faith in what you're trying to do. I'll tell you something that's really fascinating, a little sad and a little weird. I was scheduled to lecture. I was the distinguished fellow at the International Brotherhood of Magicians. And I was scheduled to lecture on this very same topic this week. I was scheduled to lecture. It was canceled thanks to COVID-19 and the pandemic. And even more interesting, my friend, Marvin Roy, a recipient of the Purple Heart, he was at Normandy, stormed the beaches and was wounded. He actually passed away this week. So all of this kismet came together, and the book was only released on Thursday. It literally only hit the shelves Thursday. So all of those sort of confluence of events came together, and truthfully, I don't know that I would have finished the book because I have a touring schedule that's unrelenting, and since I can't tour, I was like, well, I'm gonna knock this book out, man, and I did. I took the time, and I used it wisely. My friend Anthony Brooks from Florence bought the first copy. When he saw it went on sale, he was the first one to get a book. So he ordered it just like right then. And he sent me a picture a few minutes ago of him holding up the book. And so, yeah, I'll make sure that there are some autographed copies for sure.
That is cool. Well, send me that link. We'll get it out to the Mark White Show listeners. And Steve, as always, I appreciate you joining me here on the Mark White Show. And today, more than any other, this information, man, this is incredible. I love what you have shared with us today, and I know it's going to help somebody in their area of life where they're looking for their purpose. So thank you for that, Steve Trash. Such a special interview to have today.
Well, the pleasure was mine, Mark. Thanks for the invite.
Folks, we've been talking to Steve Trash, downtown Frog Pond, population 76 when he's not there. But he's been there quite a bit lately, and we're hoping that he can get out and do the things that Steve Trash does here soon as we all get back into our normal routine, and I'm not sure normal is even a word at this point. But we're going to get back into the groove of things eventually, and I hope that you will, while you're waiting for that to happen, learn, study, read, understand yourself. One good place to start is Steve Trash Science. Whether you're a child or an adult, It's a great program to watch, and I encourage you to do that on Alabama Public Television. Or if you're not in Alabama, you can watch it on public television where you are at. We appreciate Steve Trash joining us here on The Mark White Show today. Coming up next, we have Dr. April Jones coming on to share in her segment, and then followed by Kyla Carter on Kyla's Corner. I hope you'll stick with us. You are listening to The Mark White Show, and I'm your host, Mark White. Talking about a hero. Special kind of hero. Hero. No ordinary hero. Talking about a hero. Special kind of hero.
Hello, my name is Christian Martinez. I'm a rising senior at Athens Bible School. My school is great because of the wonderful environment in which students can grow and flourish. We have great academics that include the university preparatory diploma and dual enrollment courses that lead to an associate's degree before high school graduation. All my teachers and the school's employees are Christians who are devoted to the welfare of students. We have an excellent student body, competitive sports program, and study the Bible first thing every day. It's a great place. Please consider joining us at ABS next year, or give that special child in your life the great opportunity I have.
If you like hickory smoked ribs that fall apart at the slightest pull, or barbecue shoulders that are so slow smoked each tender bite melts in your mouth, then you are going to love Baby Jack's Barbecue. Baby Jack's Barbecue in Bartlett and Arlington. Try the barbecue chicken, beef brisket sandwich, barbecue potato, it is huge, or the Baby Jack Trio, pork, turkey, or beef brisket sliders. You like wet ribs? They like dry ribs. Get one slab that has them both. Catering? Baby Jack's can feed a family or an army. Drive in, drive through, order online, or come in and set them in. Baby Jack's Barbecue in Bartlett at Highway 70 in Appling, or in Arlington at Highway 70, just a block west of 385.
Are you in Alabama and need questions answered by a medical professional? If so, my friends at Trinity Medical Care are proud to announce that they are offering telemedicine. With telemedicine, you can stay at home and still have your visit with the doctor. Telemedicine from Trinity Medical Care is now available Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Make your telemedicine appointment today by calling 256-489-3192. That number again, 256-489-3192. You can also follow Trinity Medical Care on Facebook.
It's bow time. Down here, pimento cheese is pretty much its own food group. So when fans told Bojangles to bring back our legendary spread, we did them one better. And also fired up a gooey, golden, melty, molten, pourable pimento sauce. So now you can spread it thick across your favorite biscuit, pour it over seasoned fries, stir it into mac and cheese, or dip Supremes in it. Because with four ways to eat our pimento cheese, the recommended daily servings just became yes. It's bow time.
I couldn't reach you by the U.S. mail. You didn't leave a very easy trail. I tried the telephone to no avail. Guess who loves you? Somebody loves you. I do. Na 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 na. Na 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 na.
Hey y'all, this is Dr. April Jones here, and I am bringing you today's dose of encouragement. We're all bombarded on the daily by lots of messaging and information. Everywhere we look, there's something that we have to discern what the importance is, how it applies to us, how we can learn from it and help us find something positive to take away from it. But there's a lot of negativity and there's a lot of confusing messages these days. So for today's message, not only will I keep it positive, but I'm also going to keep it simple. I'm taking it back to a story that we've all heard, The Three Little Pigs. Now, it might be a long time since you've heard the story of The Three Little Pigs. Maybe you were pretty young. So I'm going to give you a brief recap. Basically, there's these three brothers, the three little pigs. And they each want to build a house. The first brother wants to build his house out of straw. The second brother, now he wants to build his house out of sticks. And the third brother, he chooses brick and mortar to build his house. So they each build their houses, similar sizes, you know, looks fairly similar from the outside, similar foundations even. They all grew up in the same environment, raised by the same family, probably all received the same education. They get their houses done and they're doing whatever little piggies like to do in their house when the big bad wolf comes around. So the big bad wolf comes to the door and the little piggies knew that this was a possibility, so they were ready for him. The first little piggy was in his house, built of straw, and the big bad wolf is knocking on the door. Little pig, let me come in. And the little pig was prepared with a response, not by the hair on my chinny chin chin. So the big bad wolf looks his house over, and he says, this house is made of straw. I'm pretty sure I can blow this house down. And he tells the little pig, I'm going to huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house down. And that's exactly what he did. So the first little pig runs to the home of the second little pig, his brother. And he takes retreat in the house built of sticks. So the big bad wolf shows up at house number two. And again, he knocks on the door. Little pig, let me come in. And in unison, the first and the second little pig say, not by the hair on our chinny chin chins. And he looks over this house built of sticks. And he probably says, you know, this house might be a little stronger than the first one, but I think I can take it. So he tells them, I'm going to huff and I'm going to puff and I'm going to blow your house down. And that's exactly what he did. So the two little pigs are pretty terrified and they run to the house of their brother. So in the last house, the third brother, his house was built of brick and mortar. And as expected, the big bad wolf heads over there and boldly knocks on the door. Little pigs, let me come in. And all together they say, not by the hair on our chinny chin chins. And this time, no matter how hard that big bad wolf huffs or he puffs, he actually could not blow their house down. And the three little pigs are said to go on to live happily ever after, all together in the brick house of the third brother. What do I want you to get from this story today? I want you to think about your house. The three little pigs all built houses. It likely took the same amount of time, equal effort, equal attention to details. They probably were all trained the same to build houses. They all grew up in the same home. They all had the same backgrounds, but they made different choices as to what they were building with. When they were finishing, they were probably all super cute houses in the same size, but the straw house and the twig house did not last. The wolf blew their masterpieces away. So I ask you, how often are we building and working with the wrong tools? Do we have the wrong mindset, the wrong environment, the wrong motives, even the wrong approach? The wrong materials, in this case, could have led to doom for the first and second little pig. We seem to be putting in the same or more push than someone else seems to, with a flimsy version of success. We take a step back and ask, what is different about my house, and why are my efforts not producing the same stability and security as theirs? We all have to be risk takers to see our efforts pay off, but we must be sure we are building with the right components, with the servant mindset, with the knowledge that we need, being aware of our surroundings, the environment, what others have done that have been successful or not successful, and taking notes. We must invest in work that we find purpose in and are passionate about, and that helps others and brings joy to us and joy to others. We must build with bricks of integrity. We mortar it with purpose and dedication. We must place each layer using consistency and the right tools. Only you can control your actions and how you build your house. And I will empower you to say that this is your house. How are you going to build it? Are you going to go about it in a way that brings you success and protects you from the big bad wolf? I believe in you. I believe that you can do it. I believe that you can build your house out of brick. Be aware. Open your eyes to what the possibilities are. Keep your focus on the final product and enjoy the journey while you get there. I hope something today helped you and reminded you how strong you are and how capable. I hope that this message finds you happy, healthy, and blessed. And I hope you have a great day. Be well.
Someone loves you. Somebody loves you.
Hi, everybody. This is BJ Thomas, and you're listening to The Mark White Show. You know, raindrops may be falling on your head, but on Kyler's Corner, she's living life sunny side up. Nothing seems to
fit. You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You never know.
Welcome to Kyla's Corner. I'm Kyla Carter, and I hope to inspire you to spread positivity, happiness, and kindness through these segments. I live my life sunny side up, and I hope you can too. Recently, I was introduced to a campaign derived from the short film called Here Today, which focuses on mental health. The challenge is to ask three people every day, are you okay? I thought, wow, three words, simple and powerful. However, the question is not simple. There is so much more than just saying those words. If you ask the question, you must be prepared to hear the response. You have to be an active listener, and then you must be able to aid in every way that you can to help guide that person in need. There are so many kids, teens, and even adults that are not okay. They feel like they have no one to turn to. Sometimes dark thoughts consume their minds, and they need to share the truth in a safe environment. Sometimes words of encouragement will help. Sometimes just a listening ear is needed. And sometimes they need someone to tell them that it's going to be okay, and where to find the help that they need. I want to encourage all of you to think about these words. Think about this challenge and ask yourself, are you up for it? Are you willing to make a difference in somebody's life today? It doesn't even need to be three people. It could just be one. It doesn't need to be every day or every week, but be aware that there are people out there close to you that really need to hear this question and want to know someone cares about them. So, to all of my listeners, are you okay? Yes, you! I'm asking you, are you okay? If you are not, please, please reach out. It doesn't matter how well I know you. I care about your mental health and well-being. If you are hurting, know that I care. I will always be here to listen and provide any assistance that I can. I believe in you. I am here for you. And I want you to live happy and positive. And of course, sunny side up!
You are my sunshine, my only sunshine.
Hi, I'm Kyla Carter, and you're listening to The Mark White Show. Stay unique and find a way to make a difference that doesn't just impact you, but impacts others around you.
I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away.
Welcome to the Make a Difference Minute replay from The Mark White Show. Here we play Make a Difference Minute segments from the past week as we try to make a difference in the lives of others. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Athens Bible School, located in Athens, Alabama. The Make a Difference Minute from The Mark White Show is coming up next. Welcome to another Make a Difference Minute
from The Mark White Show.
The American experiment was unique and improbable in 1776, when Thomas Jefferson penned the Declaration of Independence and the American colonies defied Britain, the most powerful nation on earth at the time. As we look around the world at how difficult it is for democracy and freedom to take hold and flourish, America seems like a political miracle. In 1787, when the Founding Fathers had hammered out the U.S. Constitution in Independence Hall in Philadelphia, Benjamin Franklin told an inquiring woman what the gathering had produced. "A republic, madam, if you can keep it." Jefferson also knew how the great American experiment's appeal would be to others. The flames kindled on the 4th of July, 1776, have spread across too much of the globe to be extinguished by the feeble engines of despotism. On the contrary, they will consume the engines and all who work them. The self-evident truth that all men are created equal, endowed by their Creator with the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, remains the powerful philosophical and moral foundation of a successful foreign policy, no less than it is the foundation of the American Republic itself. Yet, as we are seeing today, the advance of freedom and democracy is not a straight path, but one that also sustains setbacks. Americans have kept their republic and built it to be strong, but it will only remain so under constant vigilance. The Heritage Foundation. Be sure to follow The Mark White Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This is Mark White.
And this is Cora White.
Encouraging you
to find your purpose
by making a difference
in someone's life
today. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Trinity Medical Care, located in Huntsville, Alabama. The Make a Difference Minute is coming up next. Welcome to another Make a Difference Minute
from The Mark White Show.
I saw the other day that Grady is now making fishing baits. He's just 11 years old, about to turn 12 in September. Welcome to The Mark White Show, Grady Christian.
Thank you. I just started watching videos on TikTok, social media, on fishing stuff, and my dad taught me how to tie some flies, so that's when I started.
I'm very proud of him. He comes up with things that he wants to do, and he just goes for it. He'll ask us to get him what he needs, and he pretty much teaches himself. Brad helps him, but he's pretty much taken up with it and gotten really good at it.
My Uncle Jesse, he actually started doing this a long time ago, and that's where I got my interest from. So he sent me a bunch of stuff that he's had. So I go downstairs one day, and there's all these flies tied laying on the table. that I know I didn't do, you know. And I was like, yeah, I didn't know he was down there doing them. You know, I was when he was doing it while I was going to work. So, yeah, he's really taking off with it. I really like it.
When I start making my soft plastics, I'm going to try to make a website on Wix and try to get the business going. You can order online or call us, get custom baits.
Marie and Brad, thank you so much for having Grady join me here on the Mark White Show today. And I hope that this encourages him and also helps to get his business off the ground.
Well, thank you. We'll keep you updated about how people could get in touch with us to get orders. We can get them shipped and ready.
Be sure to follow the Mark White Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This is Mark White.
And this is Cora White.
Encouraging you
to find your purpose
by making a difference
in someone's life
today. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Green's Dependable Hardware, located in Russellville, Alabama. The Make a Difference Minute from the Mark White Show is coming up next. Welcome to another Make a Difference Minute
from the Mark White Show.
In the past couple of weeks, I have tried TikTok. I found some people who were sharing positivity, and I decided that there was a place for the Mark White Show on TikTok. Now, one of those people that I found, his name is Yanhong Zhou, but he goes by Mr. J on TikTok. Now, Mr. J spends time encouraging positivity and fun in life, and he has encouraging messages that he shares. Welcome to the Mark White Show, Mr. J.
Thank you, Mark. After I quit my job, then I tried to spend time to figure out what I should do. Then after half a year, after so many struggling, and particularly after one of my close friends, he committed suicide. That gave me a biggest shock in my own life. Finally, I told myself, okay, let's go to US. Let's study psychology. Let me do something really fundamentally valuable, I mean beneficial to me, to my family, friends, and if possible, to this bigger world. That's the reason and I came to the US. Then I step by step, because of the challenges to get a degree, I even started the company Hoop in the US. Today, I mean, this is why so people feel me, yeah, give yourself positive, because I had so many challenges in the past 6 years. Then such a challenge changed me as a person from a negative guy into a positive guy.
Be sure to follow the Mark White Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This is Mark White.
And this is Cora White.
Encouraging you
to find your purpose
by making a difference
in someone's life today.
We'd like to thank our sponsor, Alabama Music Hall of Fame, located in Tuscumbia, Alabama. The Make a Difference Minute from the Mark White Show is coming up next. Welcome to another Make a Difference Minute
from the Mark White Show.
I've shared with you for quite a while about my own story, interjected it into the conversations that I've had with other people. Many of my guests have come on the program and shared about their own personal depression and anxiety and their experiences. When I talk to people about depression and other issues that they have that affect their life in a negative way, many times I can relate to them because I have experienced it myself. Many issues that we have come from childhood. We can think about what if this were different, but the fact is it's not. And there's nothing that you or I can do to change anything from our childhood. We were not in control, but there is a certain point in our life where we get to choose and we get to decide what direction we want our lives to go in. Do we sit and wallow in our sadness? Or do we look around us and see what we can do to make a difference? When my dad, back in 2016, was diagnosed with cancer, he had 3 weeks to live after he was diagnosed. During the 3 weeks that I had with him, I began to realize my own mortality. I began to understand the brevity of life. And all the things that I had done prior to that moment seemed very insignificant. When I decided to start this show, I knew that I wanted to communicate with people, I wanted them to share their stories, and I wanted you to be encouraged and inspired, and I wanted to be encouraged and inspired as well. This show helps me as much as it does some of you. Be sure to follow The Mark White Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This is Mark White.
And this is Cora White.
Encouraging you
to find your purpose
by making a difference
in someone's life today.
The Make a Difference Minute from the Mark White Show is coming up next. Welcome to another Make a Difference Minute
from the Mark White Show.
A friend of mine, Lauren Hellams, has a daughter named Sloan, and Sloan was born with a limb difference. If you have followed the Mark White Show for any time, you have heard about Bronner and Brody, Sloan's cousins, who decided that they wanted a doll that looked like Sloan. So they reached out to Amy Jandrisovitz in Wisconsin with a doll like me and paid for a doll to be made that their cousin Sloan could have. She loved that doll so much that the boys decided that they wanted other children to be able to have dolls that looked like them as well. So they started their fundraiser and raised over $5,000 for dolls through a doll like me so that other children could have dolls that looked like them. An incredible couple of boys down in Russellville, Alabama. And I'm still waiting for a pie in the face. COVID-19 hit us, and I haven't had a chance to have that pie in the face because those boys raised $5,000. If you have a suggestion for a Make a Difference Minute, send it to themarkwhiteshow@gmail.com. Be sure to follow The Mark White Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This is Mark White.
And this is Cora White.
Encouraging you
to find your purpose
by making a difference
in someone's life
today.
This is Parker
and Gimpton.
And you are listening to The Mark White Show. Be kind, show compassion, and let others know you care.
Welcome to another Make a Difference Minute
from The Mark White Show.
Welcome to The Mark White Show, Macy Gilson.
Thank you so much, Mark. I am so honored to be here. By education and profession, I am a pediatric speech-language pathologist. Through working with so many incredible families, I have developed this passion for not just treating speech impairments, but for sharing their stories. Last year, I founded an online community. We are committed to supporting special needs families and to raising disability awareness, spreading kindness and inclusion. From there, I decided one of the best ways to educate our kids is through literacy. And I wrote a children's book, which I hope to become a series. And the book features children both with and without disabilities, how they interact together, and the school that they attend is the gold standard for all things kindness and inclusion. I'm just so excited to continue educating others on the importance of disability awareness and inclusion.
Folks, we've been talking to Macy Gilson. She is a speech-language pathologist, disability advocate, and children's author. I encourage you to go to macygilson.com and go ahead and start ordering her book series, which is going to come out in the fall. Be sure to follow The Mark White Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This is Mark White.
And this is Cora White.
Encouraging you
to find your purpose
by making a difference
in someone's life
today. Thompson Roofing and Construction is a locally owned family business serving the North Alabama and Southern Tennessee area. They are a Better Business Bureau A-plus member since 2011 and a GAF Master Elite Contractor. Give them a call at 256-952-3309 or check them out on the web at 256roofing.com. They offer free inspections.
Thompson Roofing and Construction.
Located in Tuscumbia, Alabama, the Alabama Music Hall of Fame honors Alabama's music achievers. You can even go into the recording studio and try out your talents as a singer. That's the Alabama Music Hall of Fame, located at 617 Highway 72 West in Tuscumbia, Alabama. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Give them a call at 256-381-4417. Check them out on the web at alamhof.org.
Hello, my name is Christian Martinez. I'm a rising senior at Athens Bible School. My school is great because of the wonderful environment in which students can grow and flourish. We have great academics that include the University Preparatory Diploma and dual enrollment courses that lead to an associate's degree before high school graduation. All my teachers and the school's employees are Christians who are devoted to the welfare of students. We have an excellent student body, competitive sports program, and study the Bible first thing every day. It's a great place. Please consider joining us at ABS next year, or give that special child in your life the great opportunity I have.
Is it time for a haircut? Give my friend Philip Butler at Southwind Barbershop a call. Located in the Foodland Shopping Center at 16041 Highway 72 in Rogersville, Alabama. You can call him at 256-247-5658. Make an appointment or just walk in. That's Southwind Barbershop in Rogersville, Alabama. Welcome to another Make a Difference Minute
from The Mark White Show.
one particular individual who wrote a special song for St. Jude called Thank You, St. Jude, and it was Justin Perry. Justin wrote this song because his daughter had her own personal experience with St. Jude, and as a family, they experienced St. Jude together, and Justin decided that he wanted to write a song to thank St. Jude.
Hey, Mark, thanks for having me. London was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes at 3. That was in 2015. But man, little did we know in 2018 that our lives would really be turned upside down when London was diagnosed in February of 2018 with a stage 4 neuroblastoma, high-risk cancer. This is just a small part that I wanted to do to kind of help contribute to be with Danny Thomas's vision that no child, like even my daughter, would not die of cancer. So as the song said, that laughter fills these empty but face-filled walls. As you walk down these tear-stained halls, parents' tears fall on the ground. It was just a song that, man, that when I sat down and finished, at the end of it, my goal is to say thank you for everything that St. Jude has done for our family and families to come. She's got an Instagram and Facebook. It's Love for London, L-O-V-E, the number 4, London, L-O-N-D-Y-N.
Be sure to follow The Mark White Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This is Mark White.
And this is Cora White.
Encouraging you
to find your purpose
by making a difference
in someone's life
today.
Spread a little love before your chance is gone. We may never see tomorrow anyway. Let's all do something good today. Oh, won't you hear me, people, when I say, well, let's all do something good.